Amen. Praise God. How many glad to be in the house of God? Yeah. I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. I'm glad you folks are with us tonight, and what a blessing it is to serve God. Let's stand for the read of God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. This chapter 15 is talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is also saying that we are going to enjoy the fruit and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because He lives, we shall live also. And the graveyard don't scare a child of God. I said the graveyard doesn't scare a child of God. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And I'm glad that we're on the winning side and know that death has no power over us, for we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen. One verse, verse 57 of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Graveyard of despair, persecution, death on every angle. Yet we are more than conquerors through Christ that strengthens us. And the scripture says we are to say, "Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now go with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 4 and or chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Who is he that overcometh the world? Well, it's Jerry. Who is he that overcometh the world? Well, it's Helen. It's Terry. It's Doris. Those that have been born of the Spirit of God, you and I that have been saved. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory of him that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to use for a subject tonight, God gives us victory. You may be seated. God gives us victory. And I'm going to go to some stories in the Old Testament that points out the fact that God truly does give us victory. I want to talk about the three Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And they too were facing death, but they came out alive. Everybody say, "Came out alive." That's what I want to do. I want to come out alive. In fact, I want to go up alive. I don't want a rupture, I want a rapture. But the three Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, in the third chapter of Daniel. And then I want to talk to you about Daniel, who was cast into the den of lions. And he too came out of a place of death. How many would agree the fiery furnace for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was a place of death? But they came out alive. And Daniel was cast into the den of lions. And I'm going to agree that is a place of death. But he came out alive. Daniel did. And then I want to talk to you about David, little David, a 16, 17-year-old red-headed boy, going down into the valley of Gath, Elah. And there he faces the giant, Goliath. And I may would agree that that was a valley of death too. It was a battlefield. And yet David came out alive. Now, some of us are going to be tested by those who want to dominate us and control us, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Some, and I think we're reaching a place where people want to control people. We're reaching that place. And it was all about control with Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted to control the people, and he wanted them to bow down and worship the golden image in the plain of Dura. And that's in the third chapter of the book of Daniel. When I go to, Taco Bell or Wendy's or wherever to get a sandwich or in the case of Taco Bell, a horse burrito. Just teasing, just kidding. They'll always ask me, what's your name? And many times I'll tell them my name is Mephibosheth. And they look at me like, for real? And then they said, how do you spell that? And I said, I don't know. And then sometimes I'll tell them I am Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, Methuselah. But that got to making me feel old, so I quit telling them that. And they asked me, well, would you spell for me Mephibosheth? And I said, okay, it's J-A-M-E-S. That's how you spell it. But Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, their patience was tried. They made up their mind that they were going to serve God no matter what the king said. Nebuchadnezzar, in his woolly years, in his sinful years, later he became a preacher of righteousness. Can you believe that? But not after he eat grass like an ox in the field for 7 years. And then God gave him back his sanity, and when he got back his sanity, he said, well, I'm going to praise the God of heaven. You think? I would, for sure. And so Nebuchadnezzar puts this image up in the valley. It's called the Plain of Dura. It was a golden image, and it was about, if you do the math, about 80 to 85 foot tall, this image. And he got together and got all the musicians and singers and those that would play music, and he was telling the whole kingdom in this great festivity. You can't have a big festivity without music, so they got together, had a big party, and they said, when you begin to hear the instruments playing, when they toot a horn for me, you get on your knees and you bow to that golden image. I have no doubt that that golden image looked a lot like Neb. I mean, we'd agree. He probably looked a lot like Nebuchadnezzar. There's always someone that wants to control other people's lives. And I'm glad that God doesn't do that with us. He gives us a choice. God doesn't control us until we ask Him to. And when we ask Him to, it's called being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's called God guiding us. But anyway, the king said, when you hear the music, you bow and you worship this golden image. Well, for a Hebrew son, you don't bow to a graven image. That was just a no-no in the Ten Commandments. Agreed? I mean, we'd agree. And so they wouldn't bow to this golden image. But everybody else bowed. Someone said, well, where was Daniel? I'm sure he wasn't in the province at that time, or there'd have been four standing. But the Bible says that when they played the music, there was four Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and they stood. They stood. They stood for God's national anthem. They stood. They did not bow. They stood. Now, it was going to cost them something, because there was a penalty if you didn't bow. And that penalty was you would be cast alive into the burning fiery furnace. In other words, I can't think of any way to die worse than burning to death. And the king said, if you don't bow, you'll be cast in the fiery furnace. Well, when they played the music, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego refused to bow. They looked like three sore thumbs sticking up in the middle of masses bowing down. And, of course, there was always a tattletale. I said, there was always a tattletale. Hey, that guy ain't got his mask on. There's always a tattletale. That person hadn't had his shot yet. There's always a tattletale. Hello? You say, well, preacher, don't you wear a mask? No, I've got a health condition. It's called stubbornitis. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I don't have a problem with doing certain things. I just don't want to be forced to. You know, there's something in my back that gets stiff when you try to force me to do anything. And I don't want to be forced to do anything. And these three Hebrew children were to be forced to worship an image. And they refused. And someone went to the king and said, they didn't bow. And the king calls Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego to him, and he said, is it true? Is it true? Oh, is it true that you didn't do what everybody else was doing? Is it true you didn't go by the rules? Well, it wasn't exactly like that, but similar. You can read it for yourself. And they said, well, king, it is true. It is true. The king says, well, you know, maybe you didn't understand the complications or the problems involved with this. Maybe you didn't understand exactly what I said I would do if you didn't bow. So I'm going to give you one more chance to bow. When they play the music, when they begin to do the different horns and flutes and all the different sounds of music, then you bow. I'm going to give you one more chance. Let me know, the devil will always give you one more chance to fail. And God will always give you many, many, many chances to overcome. And so they said, king, we don't have to think about this. We made up our mind a long time ago that we would not bow to a golden image, or to any image for that matter. And they said, king, we will not bow to the image that you've set up in the plain of Dura. We're just not going to do it. And whether we burn or not burn, that doesn't matter. Our God is able to deliver us if he chooses to. He's well capable to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if not, we're still not going to bow. And boy, nobody, especially a king, wants to be told, no, not going to do it. But everybody else is doing it. I don't care. I'm not doing it. Well, that made the king really mad. And so the king was furious. And the king said, well, I'm going to give you. He said, I gave you a chance and you ain't listening to me. So he was so perturbed, angry, that he told him to crank the furnace up 7 times hotter than what it should be cranked up. And they cranked it as hard as, and they bound Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And when they tied them all up, they took them to the mouth of the furnace, and the big soldiers that threw them in burned up right at the door of the furnace. They were just consumed. But the 3 Hebrew children fell down into the fire, loose and free, for the fire had burned the cords from their hands. The fire had burned the thing that was to kill them, set them free. And here's what it says in verse 24 and 25 of Daniel 3. And Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the middle of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Woo! So the king looks in and says, wait a minute, there's more than 3 in there, there's 4 in there. Well, I'm glad, king, you could count. And I'm going to count one more in my life, too, and it's that addition is always Jesus. Amen? Always Jesus. And I'm going to go to heaven because I'm counting on Jesus Christ. Now you see, Nebuchadnezzar said to these 3 Hebrew children, everybody must comply. Everybody must bow. Everybody must do what they're told. Everybody must identify with the image that I have created in my kingdom. I love this story. The Bible says that they fell, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. The soldiers are consumed. They're burned at the mouth of the furnace. And the 3 Hebrew children fall down loose into the midst of the fire. and they're up and they're walking around. I mean, they're having them a time. They're loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and the king takes a peek in there. He was expecting some ashes or something, and when he looked in there, there was three Hebrew children walking around. But wait a minute, there was another one in there, and he looked like the Son of God. And they were loose walking around. They were free because the fourth man was in the fire. And I want you to know that we are victorious because of the fourth man that's in the fire. Sister Jeanette sings a song about where's the fourth man that was in the fire. And the song goes on to say, well, he's still in the fire. He's just waiting on you. Hello. That brings me great courage. Am I going to go jump in the fire? Absolutely not. But if I'm ever put in the fire, I know Jesus Christ is there. Amen. And so the king says, I see them, they're loose. And he calls them out. And the Bible says that there was no hurt on them. There was no smell of smoke on them. There was no hurt on their body. There was no blisters. There was no stench of burned hair. And by the way, the Son of God didn't come out. It was just Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And the Son of God didn't come out. And you say, well, why didn't he come out? Well, he just wanted to stay there for the sake of someone else might fall in there, might end up in there. Amen? And so the king, when he saw that, he promoted Meshach when he called him out. The Bible says that they had no hurt upon them. They had no destruction in their bodies. They were delivered. They were alive with victory. And the king calls them out in verse 30 of Daniel 3. And he promotes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. When we go through the fire as children of God, get ready for a promotion. When we leave this planet Earth, get ready for a promotion. My promotion's going to be so incredible when I leave this Earth, I'm going to have a brand new body. What a promotion. And the Bible's clear that God gave them, or the king did, Nebuchadnezzar gave them a promotion in Babylon. Did you know God can promote people in this world of Babylon too? He can bless. He can touch your life. He can encourage your life. I'm excited about what is about to happen in this world. Really. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and please don't get upset, but hear me out. Will you just hear me out? Come on, just hear me out. November the 4th of this year could be very discouraging for a lot of people. You say, well, what happens in November the 4th? It's the day after Election Day. Now, I'm not here to talk about a Democrat or Republican, but I want to say this. Anything can happen with the madness that's all around us today. And I'm not going to make a prophecy, nor am I going to make a prediction, but I'll be quite honest with you. I'll be surprised. If our President Trump even wins this year. Now, that makes you feel bad. It makes me feel bad. I'm going to vote for him. I said, I'm going to vote for him. And if I had a chance, I'd vote for him 5,000 times. Someone says, well, he's going to win by landslide. I hope so. Because if he does win by landslide, that'll tell me there's not as many nuts, fruits, and flakes out there as I think there are. You say, well, preacher, you're not supposed to talk about politics in church. Too late. You say, preacher, they'll take your 501c status from us. I got news for you. A church don't have to have a 501. We've got a Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. We don't have to have any help from the government. We don't have to have any break from the government. Our Lord is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, I want, and I'm going to vote for Trump, and I'm going to hope he wins by landslide, but it wouldn't surprise me if he loses. And the reason it wouldn't surprise me if it loses, because we're at the end of this thing. We're about to be taken out of here. I think if the church stays much longer, we're about to be thrown in the fiery furnace. I'm being quite honest with you. Now, I'm not against getting a shot for the flu. I'm not against wearing a mask. What I am against is being forced to. I'm not against wearing a mask. I'm not against getting a shot. Well, you know, I hated shots when I was a baby, and I still hate them. But anyway, I'm not against those things. What makes me against when they say I have to, when they force me, then I feel that my freedom's being stolen. Are you listening to me? Well, Nebuchadnezzar says to the three Hebrew children, everybody else is doing it. You might as well do it. You've got to have this special card or this special whatever. You've got to bow. And the three Hebrew children says, not going to happen. But there's always going to be someone that wants to Barney Five you. They want to police you. Well, bless God, looky over there. There's someone not doing what the rest of us are doing. So we're going to go over there and take care of that. And we're going to tell them, we hope your kids die because you're not doing what we're doing. Bunch of nonsense. Hello? Bunch of total nonsense. And they try to they police people. I call them Barney Fives. They think they're going to do something. And then they walk over to people and just hit them. Just knock them silly. Just walk up and boom. Well, I'll give you one good guess what I'll do if anybody does that to me. They better knock me plumb out, or they're going to call an ambulance to take them somewhere else. You say, well, that's not very Christian. Well, I think it's stupidity to lay down and let them beat you half to death. And Christians are not stupid. Hello? Why did I get over here? I have no idea. But I just want to go on record as to say that it may not come out the way you think it will. I just want to go on record that this world may be a lot worse than we can even imagine. And we could see the total collapse of America. That could happen. But first, I'd rather see the total ups of the church. Not the collapse, but the taking up of the church. That's what I'd like to see first. But I'm not running the thing. God is. And the world thinks they're running it, but they're not running it. The world just thinks they got it in control. But, you know, when you're standing in the bread line or standing in the soup line, or you can't drive your car anymore because of the Green New Deal, we're not going to sell gas anymore because you can't drive. Has it ever pierced your brain, the Green New Deal? They do away with fossil fuel. Has it ever pierced your brain yet? You're walking. And I'm too old and fat to walk. You say, well, if you ain't able to walk, they'll put you in a home. Well, they maybe could do that. I don't know. But, you know, people are out of their mind. Thinking that, you know, we can get through this. You know, we can eat them burgers that don't have any meat in them. We can eat beans. And I'm okay with eating beans. And I'm okay with eating. In fact, my wife gets mad at me when I order a miracle burger. They call it a miracle whopper. And my wife says, don't get that. You're going to light up like a Christmas tree. But I think they taste pretty good. But if I want a steak, I don't need anybody telling me I can't have one. The preacher, you're just stubborn tonight. Yeah, I'm as stubborn as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Amen? And so they came out of the fire alive. And I want you to know the church is going to come out of the fire alive. I don't know what's going to happen. And I realize this is going on live streaming, going on the internet. And I said it. The election may not come out the way we think it is. I said it. It may be a total disappointment to some. And some, if the Green New Deal goes through and this riot and defund the police all goes through. Some that want that, if you get it, you're going to be happy for a while, but it's not going to last long. He says, preacher, you're getting political again. Oh, you ain't heard the worst of it. Who said the church can't say something about it? I'm going to say something about it. I'd be derelict in my duty. I'd be not right in my duty not to speak up and say something. Amen? So, preacher, you're not talking about my side. I'm of the other persuasion. That's okay. I still love you. It doesn't matter if you vote the other. That's your business. But I'm just saying that it's not going to come out well if this crazy agenda is placed in place. We can't drive our cars. We can't eat meat. We got to go with the world, United Nations, and we've got to let other countries rule over us, and we've got to submit and comply. And I just say, and that sounds too much like the book of Revelation to me. Come on. Then there's Daniel. Daniel's an incredible character. In the sixth chapter, Daniel is told by King Darius, don't you ask anything of anybody, not a god, don't pray to anybody but me for 30 days. It was an order by the Medes and Persians. And it was an entrapment for Daniel. And they said, you can't pray to anyone but the king. If you take any petition, you got to take it to King Darius. And Daniel says, ain't going to happen. And so Daniel went to the window of his place. I call it apartment, but wherever he lived. He went there and he opened the windows and he looked toward Jerusalem and he got on his knees. And the Bible says three times a day he got on his knees and he prayed. Well, there was. Them tattletales under the window. There they were, going to police this guy. We caught him. He'd been talking to God. The order is that he's got to talk only to the King Darius. And you know the rule, King. If they don't talk to you and they call on some other god, then they're to be thrown into the den of hungry lions. You know the rules. And so Daniel is thrown into the den of lions. The lions didn't eat him because Daniel had too much backbone. I can just see one lion lick his chops. The Bible says that God sent his angel to protect him. And I can just see one hungry lion, Leo or Theo or whatever his name is, big old mane, and he says to his buddy, I'm going to eat him. And all of a sudden an angel shows up and says, you ain't even going to smell him. And I can just see the angel, I can just see the lion say to the angel, can I just smell him? Angel says, no, you can't even smell him. Well, can I just lick his hand? No, you're not going to lick his hand. Now, I like pulling whiskers. I like pulling whiskers. How many like pulling whiskers? Come on, be honest with me. Nobody's going to take me up on that because you don't want to feel like an idiot when I get through, huh? I like pulling whiskers. I get around a kitty cat and I pull its whiskers. I catch a catfish out of the river, I pull its whiskers. Hello? Amen? I mean, I walked past Terry and almost wanted to pull his goatee, his whiskers. Same with Daryl, pull whiskers. And I can't do you ladies, you don't have none. But anyway, but I like pulling whiskers. And can you imagine? I preached a sermon one time years ago. Terry maybe remembers this sermon I preached, How to Tame a Lion. And I said, one of the first things you do in taming a lion is leave his whiskers alone. Hello? And I can't picture Daniel pulling whiskers. But if I'd have been in there, I probably would have pulled whiskers. The angel would have said, quit that. You're making my job hard. And so that night, someone said, well, Daniel just fluffed up old Brutus and laid his head across and went to sleep. I don't think so. Daniel's a great man of God and a great prophet, but I think he wasn't a whole lot more courageous than we were. I'd say he prayed all night long. I would have, wouldn't you? I'd have prayed all night long, and he did pray. I think he prayed all night long. I don't think he went to sleep on the Brutus's mane. But the next morning, Darius comes to the tomb, or to the den, which they wanted to make it a tomb. And here's what it says in verse 20 and 21 of Daniel 6. And when the king Darius came to the den, that's after the next morning, he cried with a lamentable voice and said, Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, whom thou servest continually, was he able to deliver thee from the lions? And then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent an angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. I love that. And they bring Daniel out of the den of lions, and it says in verse 23 of chapter 6, so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner, that means no scratch, that means no heat rash from fear, no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Isn't that good? He believed in his God. And I want you to know, when we pray, we need to believe in our God. And we're at a time that we're going to have to pray. We're at a time when we're going to have to make a decision. I think if the Lord tarries his coming and we're here for a few more years, we're going to be forced to stand and make some strong decisions. We're going to be forced to stand up for Christ. And I think we're going to approach some time from, we're going to be more than just you know, Sunday school goers that get a gold star on our chart. We're going to do more than just memorize John 3:16. We're going to become Christians that are going to say, wait a minute, this is life and death. This is, and God's going to give me the victory. And God gave Daniel the victory, amen. Aren't you glad God gave Daniel the victory? And he'll give you the victory too. There's lions all around us. There's hungry lions all around us. There's something always trying to eat us and devour us. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And then there's David. David goes down in the valley in Samuel. I think it's the 17th chapter. Let me look for sure. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 49. Daniel goes down in the valley of Gath. Daniel's just a little boy. He's not very old. And he sees this Goliath, this Philistine. And he's prating up and down in the valley of Gath. And he said, send me a man. Fight with me. And Israel was scared to death of this guy. He was a monster. He was probably 10 feet tall or somewhere around that. And he was saying, send me a man to fight with me. Well, you know, God got tired of it and sent him a boy to take him out. Amen? God got sick and tired of his blowing, so he sent him a boy that played a harp, a boy that said, the Lord is my shepherd, I should not want. Sent him a boy down there, anointed king. And David walks in there taking crackers and juice to his brothers, and they're hidden in the bushes and hidden behind the rocks because they're afraid of this big guy. And this guy comes strutting out there, Goliath, send me a man to fight with me. And David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would come strutting across here and defy the armies of the living God? He said, I'll take care of that little weasel. I'll take care of him. And of course his brother said, now you're getting too religious, David. Go home. You're getting too braggadocious. Go home. And David said, what, did I do something wrong? Is there not a cause? And finally, King hears. Saul hears about it. Now, he's hidden his office. Saul's hidden his office. And he hears about it. Oh, you mean there's a guy that said he'll take on Goliath? And so they send for David. David comes walking in there, and he's a little old run of a guy, redheaded, ruddy looking, and he's maybe 16, 17 years old. And Saul looks at him and said, I heard you said you could take care of this Philistine. And I could just see Saul laughing out loud. This is funny. And David says, No, this ain't funny. He said, I grabbed a beard, the beard of a bear, and I yanked him down and cut his head off. I took the sling and I hit. He said, I got so mad at a lion that he got a hold of the lion. I ripped the lion out of his mouth and I pulled his jaws apart. And Saul says, whoo! Man, you got to have some help somewhere to do that. And so he gives Saul gives him his armor. He puts on that armor, and Saul's a big guy. He's tall, big guy, and he puts on the armor, and David walks 3 city blocks before the armor moved after he got it on. Huge. And he said, I can't do this. I can't even move in this thing. He said, just let me go out there with my little bag, my strip, and my slingshot, and I'll hit that sucker right in the head, and I'll take him down. And Saul says, go for it. Just go out there. And David goes out there with his little old rope and little old leather thing on the bottom. He's dangling that old slingshot. Whew, come here. Whew, come here, you big fella. I'll knock your head off. And old Goliath says to David, what am I, a dog? That you come out here with sticks and stones to break my bones? What am I? Here you are coming out to taunt me. He said, come here, little guy. I'll just break you in pieces and feed you to the dog, the beast of the field. And David says, ain't going to happen. I'll take you, and I'll feed you to the beast of the field. And furthermore, I'm going to cut your head off. And Goliath's looking at David, and he ain't even got a pocket knife. How are you going to cut my head off? He don't even have a sword. He don't even have a knife. And David said, come on, let's get it on. And so when Goliath begins to come, and David begins to take that sling, and he reaches in a shepherd bag, he puts a rock in, and the scripture says that David ran at Goliath. And Goliath's going, and hit that old dumb sucker right in the forehead with that rock. Boom, let it go. It was like a missile. It was like one of them missiles that follow, you know, the path. And it was just like one of them ballistic missiles. And God behind that rock, and that rock hit him right in the forehead, Goliath's forehead, and Goliath just went to rocking and wheeling and fell flat on his face. Now, I think it's interesting that he fell on his face. He didn't fall on his back. He fell on his face. He got hit in the head on the forehead. If you get hit in the forehead, you're going to fall on your back. But no, he fell on his face. And you want to know why? Because David took that rock and slung it, and behind Goliath was the Holy Ghost. And when that rock hit old Goliath right in the forehead and sunk deep in his head, the Holy Ghost just hit him in the back of the head, just knocked him down on his face. Old David come running up there, pulls the sword that Goliath had. Where was the armor bearer? He was scared chicken. He was running. And old David just pulls out the sword and cuts that Goliath's head off. Cuts his head off. Grabs him by the head of the hair, and here's the head dangling. Hey, listen to me. Where's Saul? He's still hidden in his office. Saul's still in his comfy zone. And the Bible says in verse 49 of 1 Samuel, and David put his hand in his bag. He took thence the stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. See, you thought I was just making that up. And then in verse 54 of 1 Samuel 17, and David took his head off the Philistine. You see, you thought I was just making that up. And he brought it to Jerusalem. See, you just thought I was. You see, Saul's in his office. And so Saul's sitting in his office wondering how the battle's going. Here comes little David, and he's carrying the head of Goliath. He walks into the palace, into where Saul's sitting on the desk, and throws that bloody head across the desk of Saul and says, "Hey, there's the guy that gave you all these fits. I brought your head so you could get ahead of things." Amen. Hello. But the Bible says he took the head to Saul, left it in Saul's office on Saul's desk. Look at verse 54. But he put his armor in his tent. That's Goliath's armor. And you say, well, why did David put Goliath's armor in his tent? Why did David take Goliath's armor that he took? He took the head to Saul, but he took the armor. And the armor with it came the sword of Goliath. So he had the armor and the sword. You'll read later on in the Old Testament that Israel was without a sword, and they went into David's palace and got Goliath's sword because they were out of swords. You see, they had a confiscation of the swords back then. They ain't getting my gun. I'm keeping mine. But David held on to the sword, and so they came and they got the sword. But here's what I want you to see. David gave the head to Saul, meaning he gave Saul the victory, gave Saul the credit. But he took the armor of Goliath and the sword and put it in his tent. Could David wear Goliath's armor? No. But he could look at that armor and say, God is good. When David was depressed, David could always look at that armor and say, God is good. Every time David got discouraged or depressed, he'd just look at that armor and say, God is good. And I want to ask you, what's in your tent? What has God given you in victory? What's in your tent? And I want you to know, I've got some good stuff in my tent, for God has given me victory. And I want to say, God gives us the victory. God gives us the victory. You maybe can't taste the victory now, you maybe can't see the victory now, but God gives us the victory. And the ultimate end of this thing is that God will always take us out of the valley of death. And we can always be overcomers and always beat the offenses that come our way. I'm glad that David put the armor in his tent so that he's reminding all of us, when God got you out of scrape, keep that testimony handy. When God got that pressure in your life and he brought you out, keep that song you love so much handy. Keep John 3:16 handy. Keep Romans 8:28 handy. Just keep those scriptures handy so that you can look and say, God's good. God's good. He took me through. He took me through the fiery furnace. He took me through the den of lions. He took me through the valley of Gath. God's good. And you maybe don't have a sword in your hand to cut the Goliath's head off, but let your enemy furnish you one. Hello? Let your enemy furnish you one. The way I see it, if God's on my side, anything my enemy's got against me is usable in my hands too. I'll just take it and whoop them upside the head with it. Amen? Come on. And so I want to say to everyone in this room, God gives us the victory. He gives us the victory. We're going to have it no matter what. We got the victory in Jesus' name. Stand with me. Judy's going to come and bring a song. God gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. Please hear me. Whatever you're facing right now, God gives us the victory. And I think right now Satan is working hard to bring opposition to God's people. I think right now Satan's working hard to crumble our nation. I believe right now Satan's working hard to bring opposition to our lives. And I'm not here to be political. I'm just here to say, look, we're on an onslaught of attack. Our cities are burning. Our streets are unsafe. There's death everywhere you turn. I'm not here to take a political side, but I am here to tell you Satan is rampant, and we need to put our trust fully in God. in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Trust Him. He'll take us through. Altar's open. As Judy plays and sings, I want to invite you to come to an altar. God gives us the victory.